There's a group that's been in every service that I am especially grateful for, and I think they should be recognized and commended, and that's the young people. I'm grateful for a great group of young people, these MKs that are here. And, you know, there are a lot of people that feel sorry for MKs, missionary kids. But I got news for you. You guys ought to feel sorry for them others that hadn't had the privilege of being where you've been. I mean, I don't know whether you're conscious of it or not, but you've been exposed to two cultures, and you're bilingual. And so it's only natural as well that God called you. Did you know that? Natural things in the world would be for you to go. And the brother got close to a verse a while ago. The verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise." And in Spanish, I believe the next word is a command, but entendidos, or understanding what the will of the Lord is. In other words, forgive me if I get a little bit crude tonight, but he said, don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. You're a fool, friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you hadn't found the will of God for your life. And somebody says, well, he was talking about being called and going to the field. I'm not too sure about that call. Well, let me tell you something. The call to stay tonight has got to be just as clear, just as real as the call to go. And so maybe you need to get that thing settled. This body is not complete until every member has found God's will and God's plan for their life. In fact, you'll not have a ministry. And it is God's will and God's plan that every member of the body function as to how God has put it in its place in this body. And for that one who does not find God's plan and God's will for your life, not only do you suffer, but the entire body is affected as well. Let me encourage you to get a word from the Lord. Allow God to give you a verse and stand on it. I was reminded today God did some things today. Some things began to click and fall in place. Gave me a verse, 1980. I was making a visit to learn from some persecuted Christians at that time in Czechoslovakia and some of the other Eastern European countries. And I was impressed about a ministry with literature. But how could that be? You know, I was nobody, nothing, and have always been just a local church missionary. God gave me a verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20 and 21. I'd use this as an example. 1 Chronicles 28, 20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Verse 21 says, and behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. Look at that next clause. There shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people, behold it, thy commandment. God's given about 6 or 7, maybe 8 printing ministries today that print at no charge whatsoever. Millions of pieces of literature annually that we're able to direct in some part of the world. And verse 21 was the verse that God gave me. Tonight, I'm going to speak on the subject of intercession. I'd like to make some comments first before we get there. Book of Proverbs chapter 28, verse 2. I said last night that one person can determine the future of a nation. And here's a verse that speaks about a man of understanding. There's another passage in 1 Chronicles I went blank a moment. 1 Chronicles 12:32, I believe it is, it speaks of the sons of Issachar. The context gives a list of the tribes and the men from those tribes that joined the army of David. But you'll find that Issachar only gave a few hundred men. Some of the tribes gave as many as 20,000 men. But the context speaks to the fact that those few hundred men were more effective than the thousands. And it says, because they had an understanding of the time. And this passage in Proverbs 28:2 says, for the transgression of a land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. Who has insight sees that the need of a nation is intercession. It shall be prolonged. The state will be prolonged for a period of time because of a person with that understanding and knowledge. Now, if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. Someone said that the early church prayed 10 days, preached 30 minutes, and gave an invitation, and 3,000 came to Christ. Somebody else says that when all is said and done, there's more said than's being done in relationship to the subject of prayer tonight. Amen. We missionaries are very guilty many times to say, well, if you can't do anything else, the least you can do is pray for us. I've got news for you again tonight. It's not the least thing that can be done. It's the greatest thing that can be done. And I want to use Numbers 16:48 as a text tonight. Then we'll explain something of the background in this passage. It's speaking of something that Aaron did one day, and it says he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. When you consider this chapter, you'll find in the first part of Numbers chapter 16, Korah and some other men who led a rebellion, who led a murmuring and a complaining against Moses and rebelled against his authority. And those men and their families and all that they possessed, the very first time in history that anything like this had happened, the earth itself opened its mouth and they were swallowed literally into hell. 250 other men had offered strange incense before God, and they were consumed by fire also. But the judgment of God to the people of Israel seemed to be very severe. And so their reaction was murmuring as well. In other words, they began to complain and judge that the judgment of God was too severe in that instance. And so God sent a plague. God sent a plague upon the nation of Israel, and people were dying right and left. They were dying like flies. Verse 45 says, God spoke to Moses. He said, get you up from among this congregation that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And then you'll notice again Moses, the man with an intercessor's heart. Here again, and this did not happen once, we saw a passage last night, at least 3 or 4 times this occurred in the Old Testament, and Moses again, manifested himself as a man with an intercessor's heart. Verse 46, Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the word, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and he ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and he made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. I'd like to point out a number of things tonight from this passage that stands out about intercession. First of all, if you look in verse 47, Moses told Aaron to take the censer, and we find in verse 47 that he ran among the people. He ran in the midst of the congregation. Some people have the idea tonight that an intercessor is some kind of a monk or hermit. That an intercessor, one that prevails in prayer, is someone that shuts himself up somewhere and gets out of touch with all of reality. But I think if you'll go to the Word of God, you'll find time after time that they were the people that God used in intercession were those that got with their people, if you please. And as a result, they were able to discern their needs and then in turn go to the Lord with those needs. Time after time, you find that phrase, I sat, or they sat, where the people sat. Somehow, there came a brokenness after being in that place. And there was an identification with the people, and with their need, and with their sin as well. Look at some passages. For example, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, children of Israel had been in Babylon. The edict had been given, I've forgotten, 55 years, I believe it was, before, for them to go back, and a handful went back to Jerusalem, but not very many. You see, they'd settled in to a strange land. They'd put down roots, and it had become very comfortable. And they forgot about the needs, the gates and the walls and the temple, etc. So Nehemiah, as someone came back from Jerusalem, and he asked about the wall and so on, and found that there was great affliction and reproach. In Nehemiah 1:3, the walls broken down, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Verse 4 it says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Now, let thine ear be attentive and thy eyes open that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants. Notice what he said, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We've dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. When he really began to consider the situation, his heart was broken. But he didn't stand in condemnation of his people. He identified with the sin of his people and confessed their sin as his sin. And you'll find that that happens time after time in the Scriptures. Look in Psalms 106 and verse 6. Psalms 106 and verse 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. It may have been another generation. That started things as they were. And yet these men identified with the sin of their people and confessed it as their sin. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 5, here we find a man, I don't believe in the Scriptures do you find ever any sin, any fall, any faltering in Daniel. And yet in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 5, you'll find him identifying with the sin of his people. We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And Aaron ran among the people And as he was among the people, then he was to identify and was able to discern the needs of the people. Some never become intercessors because they never get to that place where they sit with those that mourn over their sin, their lives that are ruined because of their sin. Many never have broken hearts for others and can never get to that ministry of intercession because they've not really gotten among the people. And Aaron ran among the people. But notice something else. Aaron had to do it alone. He didn't wait for somebody else. He didn't wait until somebody else joined him. He was the designated one. And there was a price to be paid. And that price was to do it all alone. And if he was to do it all alone, then he could only be strengthened and sustained by the Lord. And not by that fellowship or the presence of someone else with him. Now when that happens, there are some dangers. The danger of self-pity. The danger of feeling sorry for yourself that I'm the only one. May I remind you today, if you were to study the history of revival, you would study the history of great movings of God, you'll find that always, back there somewhere in the background, unknown, unpublished, was one or two people that for years had a burden and a broken heart and prayed for that moving of the Spirit of God. So it's a question tonight of whether you are willing to be that designated one and step out. Aaron means, I find two different meanings. Some say his name means the enlightened. Others say he's the bright one that shines. I think probably the enlightened one might be more appropriate. The one, again, that had that special understanding of some needs at that time. Lest, you get weary by maybe being the only one. And the suggestions of Satan that would come upon you to cause you to feel sorry for yourself, I would remind you of a verse. It was passages were used on consider him. And here's another one to add to it in Hebrews 12 and 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You see, he became an intercessor. Notice some passages in the book of Isaiah, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he was so amazed, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 28, Messianic, for I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor that when I asked of them could answer a word. He marveled at that fact. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. Isaiah chapter 59:16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his own arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 5. Again, the Lord Jesus speaking. I looked and there was none to help, and I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore my arm brought salvation to me, and my fury it upheld me. So, lest it seem strange and unusually difficult to be that lonely intercessor, may I remind you of the Lord Jesus Christ and example that he placed as the only intercessor. Then I would take you back to Numbers chapter 16 again, and we find that Aaron took the censer and he went quickly before the congregation and he ran in the midst of them. The plague had already begun. You know, he exposed himself. Doesn't really say what kind of a plague this was. whether it was some disease or whatever, the word plague would give the implication of disease. You know, he had to expose himself. He had to take great risk. And the one that becomes an intercessor tonight places himself at great risk because of the attack of Satan that will come upon your life and upon your family. You become very vulnerable. But you know there's no other way? Do you remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? He was a man that was robbed. He was stripped and left naked, and he was beaten up, and he was left dead on the side of the road. And it said a priest came by, organized religion. A Levite came by, the law. They couldn't help him. They did him no good. And then that Samaritan, that despised, hated one, was the one that got down in the ditch, in the filth, and there was a man he didn't know. I mean, probably in that day the danger was leprosy, and this day it would be the danger of AIDS. But he exposed himself and had compassion upon him. You know, there's a verse in John chapter 12, verse 24, very difficult verse. It says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You see, that grain of corn or grain of wheat says, I'm going to hold on. You know, hey, no siree, I'm going to maintain my life. I'm going to maintain my rights. You know, I'm going to hold on. There'll be no reproduction. When it dies,